everybody. Welcome to season 3 of Boo, My Dad Says. My name is John.
And I'm Becca.
And we are your tour guides through the world of the paranormal.
We've got a whole lot of history, a whole lot of mystery, and a whole lot of weird.
So sit back, relax, and get ready for a spine-tingling time.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to season 3 of Boo, My Dad Says. May I direct your attention to ring number 1, the main ring. We have John, who today will take us to new heights and enlighten us with a unique tale. In ring 2, we have our animal guide. Our animal trainer, our main animal person today, she will guide you through the elephant in the room.
The elephant.
That may be me. And in the ring 3, we have the guest, the special guest. And now, without further ado, I direct your attention to the main ring. Here's John and Beck.
Woo!
And for those of you who don't know who that was a good friend of mine named Terry. And we have brought him on as a special guest of the episode. And I have a feeling he may be a regular appearance after that introduction. My ego is hitting through the ceiling, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, the air is getting sparse in here.
I had tingles going up my neck.
Oh, law. But I will say, you should have seen it when he got here a little while ago. Our dog nearly ate him, and she's like 8.5 pounds. So Nova is not good with new people.
No, not quite.
All right. I mentioned the elephant in the room. Okay. I listened to last week's episode, and it seems like someone called me a hot mess. Was that Becca?
That was not me. That was my alter ego. I don't know. Did I call you a hot mess?
I believe.
Oh, I would have to go back and listen. I call everybody a hot mess. It's a term of endearment. Oh, okay. I'm a hot mess. So you're on the same page as me. So we good.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about my buddy Terry here. The best way I can picture him is you take a cross between Robin Williams and Telly Savalas, and you have Terry.
Well, I indeed do have a face made for podcasts. That's
Oh, gosh. He is also the bringer of the puns. All the puns and the jokes. He always keeps us laughing.
Well, you know, I know John's a big Star Wars fan. Am I right?
Kinda, used to be. Well, but I can be a Star Wars fan for this example.
You know your Star Wars trivia.
Oh, yes. I do know my Star Wars trivia quite well.
All right. What was the little animal on Hoth that got rode out into the snow?
The Tauntaun?
The Tauntaun. Do you remember what the inside body temperature of a Tauntaun
is? I don't remember.
Lukewarm.
Lukewarm. Oh, gosh.
Oh, man. That's a good one.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, this is going to be one hot mess of an episode.
I believe you may be correct. I was good in forecasting that last week.
Well, before we get into the episode, and this is going to be one that's actually a little closer to home, we're going to be doing the Brown Mountain Lights.
The best state ever. We'll just add that.
Well, you know why I kind of wanted you to do the Brown Mountain Lights, right?
Was it your father-in-law or uncle? Or
well, my family traces back to Burnsville, North Carolina, which... You know, that had that tie. But I also understand that John has a group of fans in North Carolina, a group of young ladies, teenagers, I believe.
Yeah, my aunt and uncle's daughter.
Your cousin.
Yeah, my cousin.
Let's draw a family tree here.
I didn't want to bomb here, so I figured I'd go with, you know, somebody that I already know really liked you and picked a topic that might be close.
There we go.
That's true.
North Carolina is, I didn't know you were from North Carolina.
My grandfather was born in North Carolina.
Oh, okay. So not you specifically.
And we've got a cemetery over there named after us. And my grandfather was born in a cabin over around Burnsville. And as a matter of fact, the town of Burnsville, the land was donated by one of my relatives.
Oh, wow. That's cool. I grew up over in Mars Hill. So I know right where Burnsville is.
So that means when Terry dies, he's going to
come back and haunt us.
Bailey Cemetery, right?
Could be. That was Yellow Jacket John was the name of my relative that donated.
Oh.
Hey, it's a good name right there, John.
Mercy. Give some shout-outs. Just not their last names. Date of birth, social security number. Last four.
You know, I've already got the recording going on.
Oh, so sorry.
All right, so just want to give you all an update about the Isaiah 117 House fundraising project that we're doing. I want to give a big shout out to Eric, Lynn, and Sheila for making some donations to the cause. Your fundage will go to a very good purpose. And just so if you all have not heard what we are doing, the Boo My Dad Says podcast has teamed up with the Smoky Mountain Ghostbusters. That's a group that I'm also with. And we are trying to either get items like underwear or socks or diapers or just
yeah, if you live local like to the Tri-Cities, we could, if you want to contribute actual items, I will be happy. John and I will be happy to meet you somewhere and pick them up. You can, if you just want to make a monetary donation, then we can purchase them and put them with our collection and send you a photo of what your money went towards. We actually put this box in our Sunday school room as well, and we've already got some diapers and some socks and underwear for these kids. And I'll put a little plug of something I just found out today. Isaiah 117 is doing pre-orders for license tag for your car. So once they get to 1,000, they'll start production, and they're, I don't know, maybe around $600 or $700. But of the $35 cost for a tag, $15 and some change goes back to the Isaiah 117 house. So I thought that was pretty cool. And another neat way to, I mean, it's not related to us, but just talking about something close to our hearts. So,
but if you want to do the monetary donation through the podcast, we're going to do for the rest of July and the month of August. If you go to buymeacoffee.com/boomydadsays, and I think each coffee I've got set up as a $3 coffee. So, you know.
So that'd be Dunkin', not Starbucks, is what you're saying.
Yeah, Dunkin' for sure.
Okay.
But for the month, for the rest of the month and the month of August, any donation that comes to the podcast through that site, 100% of those proceeds is going to go to this fundraiser.
Absolutely.
And I really hope that y'all will do this because it's a great, great charity. I don't remember if you can call it a charity so much as
it's not a charity. Are you talking about what we're doing or what they do?
What they do.
No, it's just, it's a great service that they provide to those kids who are taken into custody and care, because a lot of times you get a call at 1 a.m. You may not, as a foster parent, you may not have, I mean, hello, we're in COVID. Walmart still is not even open 24 hours a day anymore, I don't think. So even a year later, like if you need stuff, This is a source that can help you get some of the, you know, a clean pair of underwear and socks, so this child is not in their filthy clothes that maybe they had on before. And so when a foster parent gets them, they're clean, they have a snack, they have a toy. They, you know, you're not necessarily meeting those physical needs. You're able to spend your time bonding with the child right away. So it's definitely an incredible ministry service that they're offering, that they're teaming with DCS with to give these kids some care before they get to their foster placement.
All right, dear. Before we get into the story, one last thing. We gotta talk about our another Bones elephant? Coffee.
Oh
Bones. Becca, that reminds me.
Oh, law. Are you a coffee purist, Terry?
I'm a coffee drinker. Okay. And I was just curious, do you know of any place I could get maybe a different kind of coffee?
I have some Bones coffee. I should have brewed us a pot and we could have sat here and drank some Bones coffee.
Tell me about this Bones coffee.
So Bones coffee is just a mail order company, and they've got all these crazy flavors. I've only cracked into the shark bite so far, but I think the chocolate orange one, because I think of what's that chocolate orange. It's a candy, and like the slices fall apart. The chocolate.
The pralines.
No.
You see them at Christmas time.
A Toblerone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, it's like in the shape of an orange, but it's chocolate. It's orange flavored chocolate slices. Anyway, I'm hoping it tastes like that. But yeah, it's pretty delicious. And the artwork is hilarious. I mean, it's just very silly. So
yeah, it's like a Grateful Dead album on a bag of coffee.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
So, you know, all you got to do is we're going to have the link to our, well, it's our affiliate link to Bones Coffee in the show notes. And you get a chance to get some great coffee.
If you like flavored coffee.
Help out the show.
Yes. But it's only if you like flavored coffee. If you're a coffee snob, then you should probably walk on by.
And you know who you are.
You know who you are. Nathan Moore. Our pastor. One of our pastors at church is very much. He gives me all kinds of grief over my coffee taste. I like regular coffee too, but every once in a while I like the flavored stuff just because I am a purist when it comes to cream, the cream situation. I don't like flavored creamers. I just like my half and half or heavy whipping cream, but I do like some flavor kicks it up sometimes.
All right. So now on to the main show. I know we took up about 10 minutes of the show. And I do apologize.
Don't apologize. You know, we're fun. Hush.
It was a lot of fun. Yes, it was a lot of fun.
So you need to unclench.
Okay, I'm unclenched. Geez,
that was graphic.
We are going to be talking about the Brown Mountain Lights. Now, the Brown Mountain Lights, they're over around the Morganton area of North Carolina.
It's Burke County. Linville, Morganton. I mean, there's kind of a whole little area right there of where you can see them, where they're popular, and why the general area that they're from.
You know, and as we said earlier, the reason we're doing this is because our guest host of the day, his family is over in that area, and he thought that would be just a nice story to start. Plus, he also said, you know, we do have some fans from that neck of the woods that we wanted to let them in on some of the local lore of their area. So let's talk about these lights. So what are the Brown Mountain Lights? What are we looking at here when we talk about Brown Mountain Lights?
Enlighten us, Becca.
Oh, that's me. Okay, I'm ready. Hit it. All right, the Brown Mountain Lights are the purported ghost lights near Brown Mountain in North Carolina. The earliest references as far as like actual reporting on of instances of it being reported was in 1910. But even as far back as what, the 17, where was that?
I think it was 17...
Sometime in the 1700s.
1771, there was this German
good man.
Good night. This German scientist, he explained that the lights was an inflamed nitrous vapor.
Oh, yes,
that sounds like something that Ray Stans would say from Ghostbusters.
Yes, that does sound very Ghostbuster-y.
But also it did say it was instantly disputed, so obviously he didn't...
His vapors were not legitimate.
His vapors were not very legit.
Oh my, I got the vapors.
The Brown Mountain Lights were these strange lights that were around from 1910, which was coincidentally also the time that electric lighting became widespread in that area.
Comes the cynic.
The cynic, that's right. 1922, a United States geology scientist person, George Mansfield, used a map and a really special telescope to prove that the lights that were being seen were trains, cars, headlights, and brush fires. And so, of course, this kind of concerned people. But ever since then, even now, supposedly, I mean, can you still see them now?
Yeah, you can still see them now, I
think. I will not be going to see them. But you can definitely go see them. They've been mentioned in several books, in several songs. Jules Verne's 1906 Master of the World, he wrote... of this, an important plot point in this novel consists of a mad scientist constructing an airship inside his secret lair in Table Rock, which is also near Morganton. I have been to Table Rock, North Carolina. And activities caused these strange lights to appear on the summit of the mountain. And so they go through, and there's with all the electrification there in the Linville Gorge area from the 1890s through the 1910s, supposedly that is what, you know, part of what this legend, this myth, this urban legend, whatever, this story is centered around. They even it was reported in the Charlotte Daily Observer. There's, like I said, several songs were written about it. And there was actually also an X-Files episode that centered around the mysterious case of missing hikers that were found dead in the vicinity of Brown Mountain of North Carolina. It was featured in Weird or What? Ancient Aliens and Mystery Hunters. There was, it is described as the basis for the 2014 feature film Alien Abduction. And then here's my favorite one. One of my favorite authors ever, Kathy Reichs. She writes the Patricia Cornwell. Patricia Cornwell and Kathy Reichs are kind of neck and neck, forensic novelist, whatever. But they both have been forensic pathologists. They are coroners. Like they legitimately know. Anyway, but one of her books, Kathy Reichs, it's mentioned in that book in Speaking in Bones in 2015.
First time I'd heard about the Brown Mountain Lights, I was in elementary school way back a long time ago, and we had a storyteller come, and I remember specifically he told stories about Wicked John and the Devil and a few other old tales, but he had mentioned the Brown Mountain Lights as well. But unfortunately, my memory's not long enough that I remember the actual story he'd given us back then, but that's where I had first heard about the Brown Mountain Lights.
Now, one of the things that Becca neglected to say in her history.
Listen, this is not like an actual town like we usually go to. So, well, I mean, if I give the whole history of it, then I tell the whole story.
I felt like the cynic, skeptic, whatever you want to call it there, was definitely coming through in your reading there because, you know, the U.S. Geological Survey came out and they did look around and they thought that it might have been, you know, train lights or electric lights. But you left out in 1916 that there was a flood that
this flood happened and suddenly the lights weren't visible anymore.
No, they were visible.
Oh, they were visible. I thought it was they weren't.
No, it had the... The flood caused the train activity around Brown Mountain to cease for several weeks, and it provided an opportunity for some to doubt the Geological Survey's conclusions because
maybe there was a car or a fire.
But what about electricity?
But the roads were also, the trains couldn't get through, the roads were out.
Every road in Burke County was out.
Up there on Brown Mountain, yes.
But what about electricity? There's still electric lights and homes in 1960.
Did the flood flood all the electricity too?
Well, that's the thing. I don't think there were a lot of electric. The electricity was getting put up in that way. But I mean, okay, let's think about this. If there was no, if the trains couldn't pass, if the cars couldn't pass, do you think that is quite possible that it knocked out the electricity too?
No, not necessarily.
It ain't like just they buried them underground, dear.
Right, but just because you're flooding outside, my power doesn't go out when it floods.
Right, the power lines are way above ground.
Have you seen some of these floods, guys? You know, knocking the poles down. I mean, I've seen some. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. I'm gonna. Here's the thing. I am gonna say this. I'm not saying that the lights are supernatural entirely. I am gonna cover the paranormal aspects of it here in just a few minutes. But the lights are legit. They are. There's no doubting that there are lights.
Okay.
You know, it's just it's just that. What is the origin of those lights? That is what I think is the question. You know, because, you know, we've had, you know, we'll cover the paranormal, you know, but then there's also the aspect of, you know, some people thought they were swamp gas. Well, there's no swamps there.
It could just be mountain gas. All the moonshine vapors.
After all, we have the Smoky Mountains. That's not real smoke.
That's smoky. That's true. They're hazy. It could have just been weird haze from the moonshiners.
You know, and legitimately could be ball lightning.
Who?
Ball lightning. It's a type of lightning that, you know, it's kind of, it's, oh my gosh.
Nope, not going there.
I really wish, folks, we could record this on video.
What?
And because just the look on everybody's face when we're talking about ball lightning is just kind of.
Like this is a family-friendly show, and you better watch it.
No, it is. It is a legitimate type of lightning.
Okay, so like heat lightning.
Yeah, it's kind of like heat lightning, except it stays close to the ground, and it's almost like in a ball shape.
Hmm.
And.
But why is it only in that one spot?
It's giant lightning.
It's
bugs.
Not just in that
it's
one spot.
It's a big old giant lightning bug. That's his right. Butt's all lit up.
Shoot fire and brimstone right there. If it was a
it
big old
fire and brimstone,
if it was a lightning bug that big, that would be like as big as Bigfoot. I mean, you know,
that'd be fun.
That'd be the biggest story since a Loch Ness monster.
I'd like to go over and see old Nessie.
You don't want to go see some brown mountain lights, but you'd like to go see Nessie.
Yes. Because, I mean, just hush. Go Karen. On with the Cherokees. Are you going to fire me? You've got your replacement.
No, you're not fired yet.
Maybe I'm trying to get fired. Do you ever think of that? No. I'm just kidding, sort of.
Yeah, but then you would lose that paycheck of zeros of dollars.
Zeros of dollars. I know. It'd be tragic, all that extra time.
Well, you know I'm getting paid twice that much. Right?
Twice the zeros of dollars. I'll give you some coffee to take for the road. I can do that.
Sounds good.
All right. So, Terry, if you have anything to add to this, just keep piling on, guys. Pile it on.
That's what I'm here for.
All right. Fire away. What is your thoughts on this?
Well, there are those that claim as far back as the Cherokee that something was going on there. That, you know, they had seen the lights, but then there's others that claim no, there's
Wait,
no.
That was before electricity.
Exactly,
Terry.
But there's also others that claim that there's no evidence that there was anything before 1913, which would make you think, you know, that's when electricity come to that mountain area. So you would think it would be electricity would be the logical answer. But as I understand it, these lights aren't stationary. These lights don't even move, from what I understand, left to right.
They move up and down, very random.
They rise up, correct. So that's making me skeptical as to the electric theory, but I don't know that I go completely to the supernatural.
I mean, I feel like it could be the electricity, and like we were saying, all the smoky mountains. I mean, just reflecting off of that as the atmosphere and the winds and the clouds and all of that roams around.
We do know there's a lot of vapor type, like water vapor that happens in the mountains. So,
well, especially like
you add lights to that, it could play all kinds of tricks.
There in the gorge, I mean, there's Linville Falls. There's several waterfalls there in Burke and Catawba County. And that area is beautiful with all those waterfalls. So it could just be a moisture problem.
Well, I'm going to propose the paranormal answer.
Sure you are.
Just because that's what I do.
That's what you do.
And that's what I love to do.
Yes.
And the paranormal answer is there was
aliens.
I mean, I can get some aliens.
But I can do aliens better than I can demons. Give me a good alien any day.
Well, in that case, next week we'll be talking about Area 51.
Oh, seriously. Like, that's interesting to me. I mean, I don't believe in aliens, but it's more plausible, I think, than, of course you do. Although my fun alien book I just finished was amazing.
I'd heard that Elvis was at Area 51, but he's not there anymore. He went home.
He left the building.
Well, anyways, on the paranormal aspect,
okay.
There is a Cherokee legend about a great battle that was fought there on the mountain between the Catawba Indians and the Cherokee, obviously. And that the lights were the Cherokee maidens searching for their dead husbands. That's one of the paranormal aspects of it.
So it was like their ghost searching for their ghost dead bodies.
Looking for their husbands. Yes. Then also The lights are also attributed to ghosts doomed to walk back and forth across the mountain for all eternity, and the spirit of a slave searching the woods for his master, which that ties into the song that you were talking about.
Yes, there are several songs. One of them was that one by Scotty, the bluegrass song, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
By Scotty Wiseman. It was performed by the Hillmen, the Kingston Trio, Country Gentlemen.
Yes, that song right there. The lights
being carried by a faithful old slave come back from the grave, who's searching for his lost master. It's actually been performed by several people. Roy Orbison, Sonny James, Tony Rice. So there's several Orbison, people.
That's a big name right there.
Yeah, that have said that. So that was, I don't have a year on that.
I do remember a tale that the Cherokee maidens, when their braves had lost their lives in battle, that the wives, their maidens, had would move around at night with candles throughout Brown Mountain is the reason you see the lights too. I'd heard that growing up.
Well, and that's kind of similar to the one story there. And then there's actually other accounts. That's not in Brown Mountain, but similar accounts to some lights there. And one of them is out in Texas, the mysterious ghost lights of Marfa, Texas.
Marfa?
M-A-R-F-A. I could have totally mispronounced that, like I typically do. Word. I mean,
that's one of my favorite parts of the show is when you get your tongue in front of your eye teeth and you can't see what you're saying.
Yeah, kind of like when I was talking about the Thames and you told me the other day, like, no, it's the Thames.
The Thames.
And that was all the way back in the Tower of London episode back in season two. And he told me about how I mispronounced that.
A lot of times I'll catch it and we'll go back and record it. So we don't even get all those on there. But anyway, sorry, babe.
Yeah, I do tend to remove a lot of the bloopers. But yes, these mysterious ghost lights of Marfa, Texas. And I won't go too deeply into the details. But the first sighting of those was in 1883 when a young cowhand named Robert Reed Ellison saw a mysterious dancing light as he was driving his cattle through the plains and was so spooked he told everyone in town about it. Since then, farmers, World War II servicemen, and high school sweethearts have reported seeing pulsating, colorful balls of light along an uninhabited stretch of the prairie southeast Marfa, known as the Paciano Pass. I don't know if I pronounced that right or not.
I don't know about that
one. It was also said that the actor James Dean was rumored to be so obsessed with the lights that he kept a telescope in his Marfa hotel room during the filming of the movie Giant in 1956.
Yes, that had what? Rock Hudson, Elizabeth Taylor, James Dean, Dennis Hopper. That had several people in it.
I'm impressed, dear. I didn't even know who all was in that movie.
Hello, Google.
Wow, you Googled that in a hurry.
I'm a fast Googler.
Her today, Google Foo is amazing.
On Cool Nights.
Did you say Google Foo?
Yes.
Oh, I like that. My Google Foo is on point. That
today on Clear Nights, as the sun sets, people from all over the world descend on the roadsides of Marfa Lights viewing area near this one-horse town and stare out across the desert scrub towards the Chinati Mountains in hopes of catching a glimpse of this bizarre phenomenon. So there's one. And then I have also, I don't have the notes in front of me, but I think there was some in India as well.
Oh, it could have been. Another little story here on the history of another theory, I suppose, which we didn't mention, Josiah Lafayette Wiseman. Did you mention Wiseman? Fate? They called him Fate for Lafayette. Fate Wiseman.
No, was I didn't
the great uncle of Scotty Wiseman. We've heard that name before. He's the guy that wrote the song, The Legend of the Brown Mountain Lights. So Fate Wiseman, he is in their family has got the oldest report of a strange light near Brown Mountain, though it wasn't well known at the time and played no role in the founding of the legend. according to a tradition that was passed down through the Wiseman family, but wasn't published until 1971, was that sometime around 1854, young Fate Wiseman was camping at Wiseman's View with his father when he first noticed a flash of light in the distance. Wiseman found that the same momentary flash would appear at the same place on the horizon at about the same time, varying by at most half of an hour each and every night. He would often return to the place, and at the expected time, he would stare into the distance until he saw a glimpse of the light. It is unknown how reliable or precise this data of, quote, around 1854 is, quote, because the source, Scotty Wiseman, was remembering things that his 79-year-old grandfather Fate had told him when he was just 13 years old, 50 years before. However, the description of the light is consistent with a distant train headlight turning a corner. The first train in Western North Carolina began nightly service between Morganton and Salisbury in 1858, and trains are known for following consistent and regular schedules, as the light did. And I'll say this,
but
too.
But I am going to refer back to the 1916 flood.
Okay. And one... and then another thing, as far as research on this goes, Appalachian State University installed two low-light cameras on rooftops that overlook the Brown Mountain and Linville Gorge. By 2014, these cameras had produced 6,300 viewing hours worth of data without any unexplainable lights being recorded. So the lights went away at least by 2014.
So he saw a momentary flash?
He saw a momentary flash.
I knew a lady in Johnson City that saw a momentary flash, but they arrested that fellow.
Oh, wow.
I got one more local story here. It was from 1982. A Morganton resident named Tommy Hunter said he actually touched the lights at the Highway 181 overlook. He had looked over the edge and saw a ball of light that was hovering, and he touched it. Tommy said it felt like he had stuck his finger in a light socket. Six other people were with Tommy that night and all corroborated his story.
Interesting. Really interesting. It's interesting because we have some, I want to look into that. I must not have read that one.
Well, the Brown Mountain lights, it is what it is. I mean, you know, we know that there's something there, and there's definitely a lot of back and forth as to what it could be. Now, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I am not entirely convinced that they are paranormal. I do think that in this case, it is some kind of natural phenomena that, you know, we just can't really explain. I think Terry made a good point. It could just be something to do with how the Great Smoky Mountains were in that, you know, we live in that neck of the woods, and, you know, there could be just some kind of natural phenomenon that just happens right here in that area. And
well, I mean, think about this. I mean, the Aurora Borealis.
Exactly. Like, that's exactly what I think.
They're the polar lights is what they're known as, and it's the natural light display. It's disturbances in the magnetosphere caused by solar wind. I mean, in the gorge and the gulf, I mean, between the gorge and the mountains and all that, I mean, there's no telling what's going on up there.
I just like hearing John say phenomenon over and over. It reminds me of the Muppets.
Phenomena.
Oh, wait.
I'm thinking of...
Phenomena.
Oh, but what's the... Palamalu. Oh,
yeah, Terry Palamalu. That was with, he used whatever. To be with the...
Steelers?
The Steelers, yeah.
I remember that from Rick.
That dude had some big hair.
He had some all kinds of volume. People pay good money to get their hair to look like that.
Well, Terry, you're going to get the final word here. What's your say? What do you think?
I think it's natural. I really do. Like Becca said, because of the area we live in, water vapors rise off the mountains a lot, you know. So it's partial to why we have the name the Smoky Mountains. On this side of the mountains. And I think that this is just a natural phenomenon that happens because of the lay of the land and what's going on there. I'd not thought of the Borealis. That's, you know, that's not deemed to be a supernatural phenomenon there. And it's, you know, just a natural occurrence that happens. I think that's what this is.
Can we take a field trip and go see the Aurora Borealis?
Oh, that'd be fun.
You got the money, honey. I got the time. Oh, we'll go honky tonkin'.
You can't honky tonk in Alaska.
Let's do a cruise.
Oh, I would be all over that. Hey, let's go to Yosemite.
I wish he's Sam.
Crickets.
I'd love to see Sam.
Oh, Yosemite Sam.
Yosemite Sam. Ooh, I hate that rabbit.
Oh, dear. I opened up that can, y'all. I'm sorry. I was just trying to get a reaction for California. Out of the main event. No, there are beautiful things. There might be some ghosts in California. We could go investigate some paranormal stuff while I go see the big redwoods. He's ignoring me. I mean, I'm sorry. I found this fantastic vacation. We were going to go see the redwoods, the sand dunes in Oregon. I had this beautiful thing planned out. And like he, as soon as I said California, he shut it down. I'm like, but Alcatraz, hello. Think of the stories you could tell about Alcatraz.
Yeah, there's a Birdman there.
Right? What's that mean?
Oh, you have not heard of the Birdman of Alcatraz?
No.
It was a wonderful movie back in the day.
Is it scary?
No, no, no. It's about a prisoner that
kept this little... Oh, I like prisons.
Yeah, it's a prison story. I think it was it Heston?
Charlton Heston? You mean Moses was in prison?
No. Moses went to prison.
It wasn't Charlton Heston. I think it was Burt Lancaster. You'll have to use your Google foo, but...
Hold on. There's
while he was caged, he kept this bird and took care of it, and that's why they called him the Birdman of Alcatraz. But it was a real good movie, if I remember correctly.
Victim murderer. Ooh.
Well, guys, I got to say, now here is my call to action for this. If you all would love to have Terry back on the show more often.
If you want to fire Metcalf female over here.
No, they would probably fire me before they'd fire you.
Hey, Telly Savalas was in the Birdman, too.
And if you didn't like me on the show, send your cards and letters to Becca
at Boo My Dad Says.
Or as they say up at the barter, if you like us, tell somebody about us. If you don't,
keep your mouth shut.
Keep your mouth shut.
Okay, so here.
But here's
the Birdman committed murder. I'm sorry, I'm going back to this Birdman. He was in Alaska. Maybe he saw the Northern Lights.
He may have. Yes, squirrel. Okay. Now.
You're outnumbered.
If you would like to have Terry back more often, you need to go out, especially for all you Apple podcast listeners, go out and give us a 5-star rating and review.
And 4 stars if you don't think Terry should come back.
No, don't review at all in that case.
Just kidding.
No, when you give us a 5-star rating and review, the review is the important part. It will help us to go up in their whatever Apple's search algorithm is, but it moves you up the search algorithm, makes your show easier to find, and we would love to be easy to find. We'd like to be right up there on that front page as soon as you open the podcast and be like, oh, check out Boo My Dad Says. But we are also on social media. Becca, tell them about our social media.
I'll put up a poll for the social media.
Yeah, we also need to have a poll about that.
Your wife's going to put up a poll.
Oh, good Lord. This is a family show, Terry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
John still doesn't even get it, I don't think. He's looking here like a poll? Like a P-O-L-E?
Yes.
Instead of P-O-L-L?
I hate
Chihuahua. He needs some coffee. So to find us on social media, you can get on the Instagram and the Twitter, but I don't really know anything about that. But you can get on our Facebook page, Boo My Dad Says, or our Facebook group. If you see us on the page, go ahead and find us in the group. We do giveaways and fun stuff. I am going to maybe do something with our poll to give away my Shark Bite coffee. I bought an extra bag of it so we could give it away and somebody could try it. But only if you like flavored coffee. If you don't participate. I'm just kidding. Don't want to waste it on. I guess I'll let you choose your prize. But anyway, if you would like, you can find us on our Facebook group. We're trying to do a little better with our engagement and just keeping it a fun place to hang out.
What other social media sites are you on?
We are on Instagram and Twitter. Just go and find just Boo My Dad Says. We're out there. I like the Instagram one better than the Twitter because...
Does anybody even tweet anymore?
Yes, quite a people do tweet.
And they tweet.
They tweet and Twitter. Because I don't know. I'm just not that. I have trouble with the whole 140 characters of Twitter.
I would definitely have trouble with that.
I want to write more than just 140 characters.
I'm not on there, but that'd be one more character, I'm sure.
You are a character, Terry. And then you can also find us on our email at john@boommydadsays.com. And that is where you can send your personal accounts
of how you were terrified out of your mind when a ghost haunted you.
Yes. And I promise I won't let Becca be the skeptic. I'll make her be a believer in your story.
I will be conveniently on location somewhere else.
Well, Terry, I am so glad you got to be on the show this week.
Well, I'll tell you what, John, I've enjoyed it. And I thank you so much, you and Becca both, for inviting me into your home and letting me be a nut for you.
Woo-woo! So,
well, I have a feeling you're going to be back.
I listen to the podcast and I thoroughly enjoy it. I mean, listening to Becca is great, you know. But
that's right. Boom. Boom, my mom says.
That is one poll I do not want to put out on Facebook because I am afraid that Becca would totally outshine me.
Well,
on the
thing is you need to relax. You need to like enjoy. You need.
Well, there's got to be at least one serious one of us here.
I don't think so. We can tell our stories and still have fun.
It's like Burns and Allen. Somebody's got to be the straight man.
Oh, that's right.
It's kind of like the Peyton Manning and Brad Paisley commercials. You know, in real life, Brad Paisley is an absolute hoot.
So they say he is Brad Paisley.
So in this case, I'm Brad Paisley because he plays the straight man in the Allstate commercials.
I like Brad Paisley.
And Peyton Manning is the crazy one, which Peyton's pretty crazy anyways, from what I can tell. But
interesting.
I am definitely Tennessee through and through. I mean, you know.
Go Vols.
Yeah, love Peyton Manning.
Who's Peyton Manning? I'm just kidding.
You're fired.
I'm kidding. I know
Terry,
Peyton.
How would you like to be permanently on the show?
I could never replace Beck.
Oh, you totally could. You wouldn't get quite the stink eyes as I get, because at least, I mean, he would hold it in sometimes, like he does not for me.
Anywho, we hope you all have a nice week. And coming up next week, we are going to be
doing... Where are we going next week?
Haunted Highways.
Highways.
So it's going to be kind of one of those, we're going to just hit some hauntings all over the place.
Can we play the Highwayman?
I don't know if I'm licensed to play the Highwayman.
Can I sing the Highwayman?
You might be able to do that.
I'm just kidding. I'm not going to sing. I don't sing.
Yes,
John could sing.
Haunted Highways.
Okay.
And then the week after that is going to be the ghost hunt, I believe, at Sycamore Shoals in Elizabethton.
That is your ghosty hunt. So that is mine. I will not be there.
What do the ghosts hunt?
Does Terry need to ghost hunt?
I might have to take Terry to one. I've already got the both days covered with people going this time around, but I may take Terry on a ghost hunt the next
They
one.
Probably wouldn't like me there. I'm too big a skeptic.
I don't know, man. You might come out of there a true believer.
Or pee your pants.
I was a skeptic until I went on one.
I just keep telling him, and I'll say it again. I mean...
I know what she's going to say. I'm psychically divining what she's going to say. Be careful.
Yes, to be careful, because I mean, I am not saying that there are not spiritual forces at work in this world. And if it ain't from the Lord, it's from the other place. And I feel like this one thing to tell the stories and whatever, but when you go out actively looking for this kind of stuff, I feel like it's kind of a slippery slope. And it can be, you know, you may be inviting something into your person, your spirit, your mind that has no business being there. That's my biggest problem with it, because there are demonic forces at work in the world. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to get preachy, but you know, if to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord or the other place, like you ain't got no ghosties flying around anywhere. He's going to edit this out.
No, this is where it's going to get good. So where is the Lord?
Well, yes, the Lord's everywhere, but I mean,
okay, then that means you could be in the presence of the Lord. If he's everywhere, then you could be in his presence wherever.
Right. But if you look at that passage contextually and you look at, you know, they're talking about heaven, like you're when your soul, when your body dies, your soul goes up. It does not go in limbo. It doesn't go to purgatory. It's not just hanging out somewhere. It's one or the other is where
you go. And think about the other place. I mean,
there's a great divide. You guys can say hell in this context. Well, that's
true, but there's a great divide between thee and us. Is what was it Moses had said when the person in hell asked to dip his finger in water and come cool his tongue and go tell his brothers about Christ? I mean, he said there was a great divide between me and thee. I don't think the ghosties can walk this earth. I think there's definitely
somebody's causing a battle weird things going to happen. On
between good and evil.
Yeah. I don't deny that. That's just what gives me personal pause to get involved in some of these things, because I know demonic power is real just as much as God's power is real. God's power is bigger in what I believe. But at the same time, I mean, Satan does have power. And I mean, sometimes weird things can happen.
Well, now I'm not talking about demons here.
Right. But now, I know. Yes, but I mean,
I'm talking about what I would call your run of the mill ghosts. I mean, my theory between that is I think a ghost is, I don't think that's a soul in a sense of what you're seeing. I think a soul does go on. I think a ghost is kind of like I've talked about the residual hauntings, but like the intelligent hauntings, I mean, you've got to, if you look at the law, one of the first laws of physics, that energy cannot be created or destroyed. It can only be transformed.
Okay? Transferred?
Transferred or transformed. It can be transformed into different forms.
Let's suppose you take Becca's theory that it's demonic. Could that demonic spirit be imitating that earthly person that was here that you think is their ghost?
That's where I get scared.
It's possible. Yes. But I think, but there are definite, there is like definite, from the stuff that I have seen and stuff and that I have done research on, there is like a definite line that's when you can tell if something's demonic versus, you know, Uncle Ted trying to communicate. I mean, usually demons are trying to, they are doing, There's like three stages. There is infestation, oppression, and then possession. When you talk about somebody like becoming demon possessed, and what that usually means, the infestation is, yes, somebody is inviting something in. You know, the like, which like okay, Ouija
we're gonna,
boards.
I'm gonna have to leave if this is gonna get too much deeper. Yeah. I'm not trying. Yeah, I can't. Yeah. I can't handle this.
Ouija boards, something like that. That comes in through like then the oppression is when something's there, they try to wear you down. They try to break your spirit. They try to
deceive you.
Yes. Deceive you, but not, I think what you're saying, but like, you know, they will do things. They will find your weakness and they will play on that weakness until you're to a point. And then the last step is the possession.
Well, I'm just saying, be careful.
Yes. I mean, that is why I always...
They can deceive you and make you think it's Uncle Ted's ghost.
That is why I always, before I get out of the car on a ghost hunt, I am praying.
Well, is that kind of like praying, all right, Lord, help me get this bank robbed real good.
And then when I get back in the car before I leave the site, I am praying. You know, that, you know, nothing well,
we
gets,
can, we can agree
follows
to
you home.
We can agree to disagree on that because I have very strong feelings on that. And that's the only reason I can sit here and do this podcast is because I do the history and I do the whatever, because it scares me. I mean, it legitimately scares me. And I don't.
Well,
like,
and,
I honestly,
you know, there
like,
is a
like
reason I tend to keep this podcast light. I don't get, you know, I prefer to keep the podcast with your little run of the mill, you know, like Wyatt Earp's hat being knocked off at the birdcage.
Right, because you don't want me screaming in the night.
Yeah, well, that. And then
and I will
no
say, as
getting...
a listener, I appreciate that too.
Yeah. not everybody wants their socks scared off of them.
No, I mean, this thing is, you know, we don't do this podcast to scare as much as, you know, I want to entertain. And yes, I do believe in ghosts. I have not seen an apparition with my own eyes, but I have.
What's the line from Ghostbusters? Class 3, full form.
Full torso vaporous apparition.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I have not seen anything physical, but I have heard, you know, some knocks on walls. I have felt like I have had something touch my arm.
La 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 la.
I have seen, you know, stuff going off on the EMF meters. I have seen, you know.
And I'm gonna go make some coffee
triggered.
Now. Go get that Bones coffee brewing.
But anyways, my theory is, I think the soul and what is left, the energy that leave when the body passes on, I think it's two different things. I think it's some residual energy.
We could have a podcast debating this. Like, that'd be super fun.
It might be, but then. But the thing is, it's going to get too deep, I think.
And it'll get ugly and you'll get mad at me.
Well, no, I think it would just get too deep and you would get scared.
Maybe that'd be a good Patreon content.
That's it. Patreon. But then he's only going to give his side. You got to have a skeptic who's not scared.
Speaking of Patreon, I also have a Patreon episode coming up, not this week, but next week. And we will be doing, I think, the Amityville Horror Haunting, which is one that the... Ed and Lorraine Warren covered, which I'm kind of keeping with that theme. Anyways, guys, we have held you all a lot longer than I had intended.
Well, because I got scared.
And,
sorry, y'all.
But we hope y'all enjoyed the show. Let us know if you'd like Terry to come back around. And good night and God bless.
Toodaloo. We'll be right back.